Hope everybody is doing their best right now as we're going through this crazy time in our world. I'm Tony Bruschi, host of Real Ghost Stories Online. Wanted to invite you and let you know about our other brand new podcast that we just launched, Help Kill the Time for You. It's called The Dark Side of Wikipedia. It's about true crime and dark history. We dive into some of the strangest, most disturbed minds and experiences from our history and examine their story, their Wikipedia entry, and then discuss the cases, the individuals, and the psychology of the events as we go through each and every story. Some of our first episodes include Ed Gein, the BTK killer, the New London school explosion, Amityville murders, Richard Speck, Amelia Dyer, the General Slocum disaster, Jeffrey Dahmer, and more. New episodes every single week. Check out Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search it. Subscribe wherever you download podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. It's available now with new episodes every single week. Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search and subscribe today and stay safe out there. Did a mother see ghostly figures around her house and interact with them as if they were alive? Or was she out of her mind? That's what one adult wonders as they look back today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can email them through our website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Just click the Tell Us Your Ghost Story button. We'd love to hear them. We may use them on a future episode of the program. And, of course, this is a listener-supported show now more than ever. So if you like the show, please become an extra podcast person, and we'll make it worth your while, giving you bonus episodes every single week, a whole bunch of extra content, advanced episodes, and a heck of a lot more. You get access to our audiobook, which is a $15 value, right there normally on Audible. You get that when you become an EPP. You also get our e-copy of our book, our Amazon best-selling book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. Again, about another $15 value that's sold on Amazon or wherever books are sold. You get that too for being an EPP. So right off the bat for $5, you get like $30 worth of stuff, and then you get access to all of the 300 plus bonus episodes. So lots of things when you become an extra podcast person of Real Ghost Stories Online. Do it at ghostpodcast.com. Sign up there. Or if you prefer the Patreon platform, which is very convenient and easy, they got a great app. You can go there. Patreon.com/realghoststories, and then you can binge away on other platforms. Same stuff, both places. Just prefer, depends what you prefer to use, through the website or through Patreon. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
And how's your quarantine day going?
My quarantine day is going as well as it can.
You know, when we started talking about this, and this is being recorded on the 30th.
Of March.
Of March. This is airing around the 20-something, 21st, I believe, of April is the set date for this episode. So 20 days in, who the hell knows what's going on by the time this hits the air? Siri's talking to me and responding when I'm not even asking Siri to do things. Oh, it's my watch. Like, my phone's not doing it. Where's that voice coming from? It's the quarantine.
Oh.
I'm hearing things. But yeah, it's kind of becoming a way of life.
It is.
Which is like at the beginning, it's like, holy shit. And it still is kind of holy shit. But, you know, once you kind of get into your routine and you find it a bit, you know, it's like, okay, I get it. You know,
yeah.
Not that it's good, but it's like, okay, I get it.
Yeah. So
I hope things are getting better by the 21st. I don't have high hopes, but I hope.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I don't have much to add. There's nothing positive to add about this.
Yeah.
The news headlines are horrific.
Yeah.
So I don't think we need to go there.
I haven't read anything today. I've just been working on our shows.
Do you want me to tell you what they said?
What? What's new?
If we do everything right as a country, we're looking at hopefully only 200,000 deaths.
Jesus.
So that's what the doctors, the ones that stand up next to Trump, those are the ones that are saying. So now's not the easiest time to quit drinking, but we're doing it.
Probably for the better.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it was one of those things where it's like, this is getting shittier. This is getting shittier. This is getting shittier. I'm overdoing it.
We both were.
And it's like, okay, this is not going to, when you need to focus on health, that doesn't help with health.
No.
So. We can do spirits with spirits, tonic water. And
I'll do tonic lime or Shirley Temple or something fun.
And I've been enjoying my kava tea, which has been a wonderful thing.
Your kava tea, it's
like drinking mud.
Yeah,
but it's,
if it didn't smell and taste like mud, I'd probably be all about it.
People are like, weed, do weed.
I know.
It's not legal here yet. I don't think there's any way to possibly get your hands on it without breaking a law. So,
but it's crossed our mind.
It has. We'll just grow it at our farm.
Are we going there?
We'll have that story on a future episode of the program. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's jump into our first story of the day. It says, hey, this story I had begun when I first moved near Duluth, Minnesota, back when I was still finishing high school. I didn't finish school until I was about 24. A slow learner, and I joined the Army. I didn't get deployed or anything, but I was stationed overseas in Iraq in a medical office. This was before marijuana became legal, and I always looked high. I didn't care. My mom was worried if I would die, so I just played along with them. I have a few more stories while in the Army, but I saved them for later. They did teach high school classes there, but I waited until I got out of the Army to take the test. So, moved in with my mom in Duluth. She's without a doubt insane. Some nights, she would scream in the middle of the night. And lucky for me, I didn't have issues with PTSD. It's kind of sucked because she had a nasty habit of screaming out names. I'd be worried if she said a name that was familiar, but that was a long time ago. When I was a kid, she would talk to herself, then claim she talked to God. She's been that way my entire life, so I'm used to the way she acts, and it feels weird when people visit. She doesn't have too many friends. Most of them seem to avoid her often. One of my friends growing up told me she was insane and he never visited my house. That was as close as I got to using a PlayStation, as close as I got for me to use a PlayStation at the time. I was only there about 4 months until I took my GED test and it all felt normal. First problem was when she hung out with the neighbors. They all sat at the table having tea and coffee. I never saw them. But she introduced me and told them I was ex-military. None of that bothered me. It was all information about me. What bothered me was that none of them ever existed. Everyone who entered that house was all in her head. Well, not me, but it's creepy. I found out from a maintenance worker that she invites people over, but she apparently can see and interact with them. He didn't know how to react when he was fixing something in her house. I moved out of state. Most of my stuff was in storage, so it was easier for me to pack up and go. They can also move your stuff for you. It just takes a little longer to arrive. I'm not going to promote the place, but it's a storage unit they sell all around. So I ended up in Irvine, California, where I lived there for a few years. I moved back here recently just because it's a place where a bunch of my friends live. It's just expensive to live here. The creepy part was when my mom called. She answered the phone. Oh, hi, Michael. Yeah, it's good to hear from you. It was like she was talking to me the entire time and nothing skipped a beat. I really can't tell if she's just making up her whole environment. It doesn't bother me if she made a few calls to get my number, but I didn't give it to her. As far as she knows, I was done talking to her when I found out the neighbors didn't exist. My mom still calls, but I'm glad it's only to call. I don't know if she's lonely, but it gets creepy when she seems to guess or know things about me. Thanks for listening. Take care.
I think that there is a multitude of things going on. I think that it's safe to say that the mom is not well, but
yeah.
things tend to show up around people that are not well. They're prime targets for paranormal activity. So it could be, not only is she not well, but she may actually be interacting with some paranormal entities as well.
Mm-hmm. Where the mom's getting information she shouldn't know, she shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. And then it all mixes together and that makes it even creepier.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, you know, if there's no evidence of that, you could just say there is certainly something that's not right here. And she's not well and needs help. Mm-hmm. But when you're exactly right, which makes it all the more difficult, I think, for people to diagnose or to say, you know, obviously the medical community will just say this is 100%, whatever disorder is going on.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm curious how they do that though. And it's always interesting to hear from folks involved in that area of medicine where they're like, yeah, we obviously can't really diagnose. You're seeing dead people or ghosts, but there's been cases where it's like, there's no way this person should know this.
Yeah.
But you know, there's no real way to say, oh yes, you have schizophrenia with a side of, you know, psychic, mm-hmm. or what, you know, whatever it may be.
I think they're able to diagnose the mental illness that goes along with it. I mean, not everybody that sees or feels or has interactions with spirits has mental illness.
Sure.
But there are definitely some, like this case, where it's more extreme and there's definitely a diagnosis out there for her. But then you do have the, you know, I guess the real life things mm-hmm. going on where it's like, okay, this isn't just in your head.
Yeah.
So I think it's a heavy mix.
It is. Thank you for sharing that story with us. We do appreciate it. And I'm sure that must be difficult to try and figure out and, you know, just kind of wrap your mind around when you're going through that. 855-853-4802. You can call that number 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and share your real ghost stories with us. We would absolutely love to hear them. Our next story says, I joined the Army fresh out of high school, so I've lived in over a dozen places over the years, and this has happened in one place only. I was living in Huntertown, Indiana. I had a nice two-story townhouse. Well, from time to time at night while I was sleeping, I would feel something petting me, more like stroking me from my neck to my back. Always on my back, and the touch was always cold. It made my body tingle anywhere it touched. Well, it was so hard, it would wake me up. I would open my eyes, but lay completely still to see if I could still feel it, and I could. So then I would flip over, and of course, nothing was there. This happened so often, I talked about it with my mom and stepdad, and they said I was dreaming, but I know I wasn't. One night, I was being touched by something like before, and this time I flipped over as fast as I could, and there was a man standing there. So I sat up higher so I could get a better look, and sure as shit, there was a man standing there. I couldn't see his features, just his outline in the moonlight, but I was 150% sure it was a human man. So I let out with this spine-chilling scream that woke the neighbors, and I jumped out of bed and started swinging as hard as I could with both hands. But as I started swinging, I realized my arms were going right through this guy. So after several swings, I stopped and I got a real good look at this fella. He was made of what appeared to be smoke, ash, and some light. And the whole time I was swinging on this apparition, it just moved towards the wall. When I stopped, I watched it slowly slip away into the wall and floor, without a care in the world, leaving me standing there, sweating, winded, and quite terrified. I just done my best to knock out a ghost, and it really didn't care. I have no idea why it was petting me at night. I hadn't lost a male family member at that time. It just caressed my back at night, but it didn't feel like it was to comfort me. It was more like to wake me up and terrify me. After that, I started sleeping on the couch, or I had company over more often. This is a 100% true story. When it happened, I was of sound mind. I was not under the influence of anything, and I was completely mentally stable. I don't want anything for my story. I just want the chance to tell it. Thanks for your time.
You know, unless you're going through that, you don't know the feeling that it gives off. I almost feel like it was some sort of, I know she said she didn't lose a male figure in her life during that time, but maybe it was an ancestor or somebody she never met that came and wanted to get to know her, but didn't want to scare her.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of backing off slowly is kind of like, okay, okay, I'm sorry, I'm going.
Don't mean to scare you.
Yeah.
I know it's creepy, but that's not really what I'm intending. But hey, I'm a ghost. So
yeah.
There's not a lot of, you know, I don't mean to come across this way, but I'm coming across this way when you're a ghost.
But my question is, after she caught him, mm-hmm. and after, you know, she tried to beat the shit out of him, and, mm-hmm. and he kind of backed away, did he ever come back? Because if he didn't come back, maybe, you know, he wasn't ever intending any harm. He was just, you know, wanting to get to know a descendant, you know?
Sure.
And that's to me what, you know, if he really meant harm, he would keep coming back knowing how much it scared you.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Speaking of strange things.
What are you looking at?
I think our neighbor is doing like a relay race on our sidewalk. Like, you remember like in gym class where you would like put the two erasers on one end and then you'd go and you'd run and get the eraser and then run back?
Which neighbor?
And
which
then
side?
That side. And then, you know, you it was like a timed thing.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that there's erasers out there, but I keep out of the corner of my eye, he's wearing like a blaze orange shirt. And I keep catching like this whiff of blaze orange flying past the window. I'm like, what the hell is that?
He's wearing some sort of weird back thing too.
And I've seen it happen like 7 times now.
Well, he was like doing pull-ups on his back porch.
Okay. I get it. If you don't, if you're a gym person and you can't go to the gym right now, you're probably trying to improvise and do more high impact things. And I get if maybe, you know, long distance running isn't your thing.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, you're trying to do short sprints. And that is my guess is what's going on. I'm not going to judge. It's just something I don't normally see.
Because I was thinking if it's the other neighbor, she's a badass. She just runs marathons.
Yeah.
So she's always up and down these hills like nothing.
This guy's wearing like something that looks like the bro from Seinfeld.
We make fun of him because he's kind of a dick.
And he's got like a bunch of wires coming out of it. So I don't know if he has like, I don't know what he's hooked up to. I don't know. I'm guessing he's probably a gym guy and probably just trying to, you know, figure out some ways to do whatever he does without having access to the equipment. So I'm not faulting him.
Yeah,
I'm just not used to seeing someone sprinting past my window, the same person every 30 seconds.
You're going to miss him.
Back I'm and sure. forth. He's kind of a dick, you know, like you go in your backyard and say hi and he just kind of like looks at you.
It's and
like,
then he calls his kids and they all go in the house.
Yeah.
Like, really? Are we those people? Are we with scary ghosts telling people that you have to call your kids in the house? Fuck you.
We'll have more to this saga in coming episodes, which you probably will find quite interesting. And that's our tease. I drink my delicious tea. A tea with teas. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller and hear yours. Hi.
Hi, guys. My name is Rachel, and I am from Illinois. I wanted to thank you guys for allowing this kind of an outlet for many people who have gone through many of these tales, who are able to tell these tales, who are able to let other people know if they have questions or concerns and wondering about the paranormal world. I find this to be so intriguing and hearing about all the many stories. Now, I wanted to share one of my own stories, and it had occurred in my hometown. I believe the houses that were there are about like 70 years old. So I don't understand some of the backtrack history of the story that I'm about to tell you that had occurred to me and a few other people. There were a few other people that were entailed in this story. So it was around Halloween when we had started this. And where everything ties together. It was around Halloween, and I was in high school. I had my neighbor and a friend of mine, we were walking. We were talking about how this house that was down the street from us had people moving in and out of it. And we were like, oh, you know, we should go over to that house. You know, it's spirit of Halloween. Let's go over there and see if there's anything there. Let's see if, like, we'll be able to get in. Let's see if the door is open. You know, all that stupid stuff, trying to get into the house. And so my neighbor, he's over there at the door. Like, he is right up against that house, looking at it, trying to see inside, you know. And my friend and I, we're kind of like a little ways away. We're kind of like, oh, I don't really want to get too close to it. We don't really know what's up with this house. You know, people are really moving in and out of it. I don't really want a bad spirit coming to my house. That was our sentiment on it. But my neighbor, he was not concerned at all. He was just like, oh, it'll be fine. So he goes to the house and he's at the door. He knocks on it, tries to open it, you know, all that stuff. We're talking about, oh, you know, it's haunted. It's got to be haunted. So next thing you know, something falls and you hear a bang in the kitchen. And the house is not very large. Most of the houses that are in that block are small. They're about like under 800 square feet. They're not very large. So the house is like it's a flat. So you're able to see the whole entire house around it because it's not that big. The driveway was about, I would say, like 40 feet up until you get to the door. And we were about halfway that point. And then my neighbor was already at the door. So we're 15 feet away from the door and we hear it. We hear the bang. And then he hears the bang and he's like, wait a minute. There's nothing in here. There's no one here. There's signs on the doors and on the windows, you know, showing that it's a vacant lot, you know, that, you know, it's been checked. You know, those papers that are on there from the real estate, those were on there. And we were like, okay, that's kind of weird. All right. So we're like, all right, let's just go home. So we go home and, you know, we don't really talk about it until a week later. My neighbor comes to me and he tells me, hey, so I was researching about this house. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Because it's already a week later and I had class with him and he started talking about this house. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Because I totally forgot about it. I think Halloween had passed already. We were already talking about other things. I think like finals were soon. So I was totally other mind there. So he starts talking about the house and he's like, hey, I read a story online. I scoured the internet. It said that there was a man in this home that had murdered his kids. And I'm like, what? So he says that. I'm like, that's crazy. Like, where did you get this story? And he's like, yeah, I heard this story. And, you know, I think that's what happened with this house. So I'm like, okay, that's weird. So, you know, that's let's put that aside. I would say 2 years prior, or maybe like a year prior, in the summertime. So we're going to go backtrack. Keep track of what just happened now. But go back 1 year. It was summertime and I was trying to fall asleep. I was in my room. And mind you, this house has had activity before. There have been other things that have happened in this house, but for this particular night, this incident relates to this whole Halloween situation with my neighbor. So I'm in bed trying to fall asleep. I really can't. And, you know, my mind's racing, you know, thinking about what I'm going to do the next day. I see movement in the room and there's shadows moving like side to side. There's more than one person in my room. I could tell you that. And I could feel it. There was a girl. She was about 15 years old and she was on the right side of me. And there was a man right in front of me. That's just, I couldn't really see them, but I could see them in my head. It was like what they looked like who they were, how old they were. And I was trying to find out like what was going on in the room. And I just saw movement. That's all I was seeing. She looked like she was trying to keep him away from me, man. But I saw a shadow of a hand going over up on the wall, over the ceiling. And then it was going to go down to my bed to reach me. And right before that happened, I turn on the light. Mind you, this is like 12 in the morning, like 1 in the morning. It's pretty late. I mean, it's not that late, but it's pretty late for you know, now. But yeah, that happened that night, and I was wondering who the heck this guy was. Mind you, I saw what he looked like. He had olive skin, curly hair. He was about in his 40s, and his daughter was black hair, olive skin, and she was trying to keep him away from me. That's what was going on in that room. So I recounted this only because my neighbor, after telling me the story from Halloween about the house across the street and what he did to his two kids, he had a dream with that man and recounted exactly what the guy looked like to me that time. And I never told him about the incident in my house the summer prior, because I know for a fact that there's a lot of people that don't believe in that stuff. So I didn't even bring it up. Well, he brought it up and he told me what he looked like. And it was exactly what I saw when that man was in my room. So I told him that I had seen this man before, and this man had tried to do something to me. He came into my home and tried to do many things to me. Now that things come together, the son had been seen by my mom previously, and I had seen the daughter again after all of this had happened, after I had talked with my neighbor. And the daughter had came to see me just to see how I was doing, and it was such a sad, sullen black charcoal, just like this gray matter that was in the corner of my room. That is all I saw, and I just saw her hurting. And when I saw that, it just hurt me so much more. But after that, I would say about like 2 or 3 months, somebody moved in, a family moved in, and one day I happened to look outside, and I noticed that there was a priest walking around home. That was when there was an exorcism, and that was the last time I saw the girl, heard the girl, and saw the man. But that's my story. And it ties back for like about a year or two. And there have been a few instances, just like my mom seeing the son. I had saw the girl. I never saw the son. And how crazy that is. How crazy of a story that is. I don't even know if that story is true in terms of whether or not he did kill his children. But I did see that stuff. And I did go through that. And my neighbor saw it. Like, it was just crazy. So that's my story. But I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you guys do air it.
I think she knows it's true, because the way the daughter was trying to protect her from the father, and then hearing that's what happened, you know, whether or not that's an urban legend, you know, there was some sort of reason that the daughter was protecting the girl from the ghost. And for that all to happen, even before knowing this supposed story, you've got to know in your gut that that's most likely what happened.
And sometimes it's just that, you know, straightforward, whether it be a piece of an urban legend or not. Mm-hmm. You know, there's bits and pieces that are real.
Yeah.
That come back to the surface, to reality. Thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hey guys, this is Rachel from Kentucky. I've called in before, but I'm now an EPP and I love your guys' show. But I wanted to call about an experience I had just the other night. I've actually seemed to have a lot of activity with spirits and dreams. I've also seen shadow people and things like that. I've kind of been sensitive most of my life. But the other night, I was going to bed. The rest of the day had been totally normal. Everything was fine. Wasn't feeling any vibes or feeling weird at all. But as soon as I got in my bedroom and started to lay down, I just got that uneasy feeling, that feeling of something being there. And that happens from time to time when I feel like something is around me. But this night I had that feeling again. And it seemed like my pets kind of had the same feeling too, because my dog, who normally jumps up, lays right next to me and passes out, she just couldn't settle the whole night. She seemed to just kind of be getting up and pacing around the bed and just couldn't find a comfortable spot. So I was laying there and I wasn't asleep yet. I was actually talking to her and, you know, trying to get her to settle and calm down and go to bed so we both could sleep. And my eyes were closed. They were not open. But as I was laying there talking to her, wide awake, with my eyes closed, I instantly got this mental image of a child. And I'll explain, too, I sleep with my covers. I have to sleep with my ear covered. I don't know why, but I've always done it since I was little. So pretty much the blankets cover most of my head when I sleep. But I got this mental image of a child, a perfect crystal clear image, pulling, like, the cover back, like, two hands pulling the cover back to, like, look at my face. And in this picture, this child literally had to be 2-3 inches right from my face. I mean, I physically jumped. It startled me that much. And it wasn't something I just kind of started thinking about in my head or kind of came up with or a dream. I mean, it was like instantly just an instant picture in my head of this little child, brown curly hair with blue ribbons and pigtails and a white shirt, just 3-4 inches from my face, just staring at me, and then instantly gone. And it was the strangest thing. I mean, it's not anything I've ever experienced before. And it wasn't something to make me, it startled me enough. It made me jump enough that it made me remember it and think that maybe there was something to this, especially since my animals were having such an issue going to sleep as well. But I wanted to get your all's thoughts on that and see what you thought, just because it was something that really weirded me out and has stuck with me since that night. And I haven't had that feeling since, or haven't had anything happen like that since or before this incident. So just was curious to see what you all thought about that. And I will call in the future with some more of my stories. Thanks.
You know, I think maybe it was a curious little kid. And when she saw that she startled you, it startled her. And then she didn't want to come back anymore. You know, mm-hmm. just a little bit of a curiosity. But especially with the way the animals were kind of acting all, you know, uneasy, like something was there that wasn't normally there.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I have to sleep with my ear covered too. I'm a side sleeper and my ear has to be covered, but it has to be covered by my hair because I'm terrified of bugs crawling in my ear at night. It's a phobia.
Have you ever had a bug crawling your ear that you couldn't get out?
No, but I saw a bug go in my grandfather's ear one time when we were outside. And it was like to the point where he lost his balance and he was down on the ground. And
really?
It was like one of those long tweezer bugs.
Oh, Jesus.
And we had to get it out. And ever since then, I have to sleep with my hair over my ear.
Well, you got some reason for your fear.
Yeah, I know. It's not just one of those irrational fears like I normally have. It's actually one with a reason, so...
That's a common fear that people have, but most have never actually seen it happen firsthand to anyone. It's just more of those scary thoughts.
Oh, this thing was like as big as the wasps that we get on the porch.
God.
It was that big. Yeah.
I'm just going to grow a mullet because that's all I can grow
anymore.
Just
to cover your ears?
Just to cover my ears. Fuck
like
it.
A Sonny Bono?
That's all I'm going to do. Like, what are you doing? It's to cover my ears from bugs? It looks like shit. I know. But bugs will not go into my ear and nest. So you can thank my wife for that one. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And that is going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, support us, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person. Ghostpodcast.com is where you can do that, or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.